came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said that we cannot come to you very often because there are enemies in our way and they will block us from coming to you often. So we only can come at a specific time in the year. So we want you to order us with something that we go back to our people and tell them, and that will be a cause for us to enter Jannah, to enter Paradise. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered them with the faith in Allah, the faith. And he explained to them what the faith meant by saying, you must worship Allah and not associate anything with him. You must establish the prayer. You must give the due charity. You must fast Ramadan and so on. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to them what faith means and what faith constitutes of. So the faith actually, as it is very clear from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, constitutes of not only to believe in the oneness of Allah and to say La ilaha illallah, but it also includes establishing the prayer, giving the due charity, fasting and so on. All these matters are part of our faith. In other words, if someone does not do all those parts of faith, then his faith will not be complete. His faith will be short by as much as he is short with his action. And as we said last time, the action is part of our faith, and therefore if some of the action is missing, that means the faith is not complete. And this is our belief, that faith increases and becomes more with doing what pleases Allah, and it decreases and becomes less and less with doing what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or by missing our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more one obeys Allah, the more his faith will be, the stronger his faith will be. And the more one disobeys Allah, and the more one misses his duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his faith will decrease and will become less and less. This is very important to know, because when the faith comes weak, when the faith becomes weak, it could become to a point where it is so weak that it can be subject to any break, subject to be removed completely by any cause, even a small amount of cause. So the believer, the faithful, should be very watchful of his faith, not to reach that level, not to reach that degree where his faith can be subject to be removed altogether for any effect. One of the scholars gave the example of faith at that state, when it is very weak, by a small plant. The plant at the beginning starts very small, and at that state it is subject to be removed by anything. Even a small child can pick it up and remove it. So if you guard that small plant, if you guard it by feeding it properly and by protecting it from birds and from children and so on, and by removing all the things around it which might cause its weakness, then this plant will grow. Similarly, your faith, when it is that much, then you should guard it and you should feed it. But how should you feed it? You should feed it with the right knowledge and the righteous action. and you should remove all harmful things from around it. In other words, your faith must be protected by you by learning your religion, learning it from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is what we mean by knowledge, and this is what is meant by knowledge when it is mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you go and read something from any book, whatever book it might be and whatever knowledge it might be, it should be based on the revelation of Allah, and that is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, when you ask someone or hear something from someone, then the answer should be based on the revelation from Allah, and that is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what we mean by the right knowledge. We don't mean by the knowledge what you think is right or what he thinks is right. This is not knowledge. The knowledge is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he who gives you the answer based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is the right knowledge that you should stick with and you should act by. But the knowledge itself is not sufficient. It is not sufficient to learn something and sleep on it. Once you learn something, then it will be a proof against you if you don't act upon it. So once you learn something, then you should act upon it if it is something which is a must to act upon. And if it is something which is not a must, it could be only desirable to act upon, then you should do your best. If you want to gain reward from Allah, you should do your best to act upon what is desirable as much as you can, as much as it is possible for you. And also, it is important to remove all harmful things from your faith. For example, a believer should only accompany people who are righteous, people who follow the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, Al-Mu'minuna wal-Mu'minatu ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. The faithful, male and female, they are the allies of each other. They are the friends of each other. This means that the friendship must be based on faith and must be based on righteousness. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is ordering us to be brothers, but on the basis of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyone who worships Allah in the right way, then he is your brother. But if he worships Allah in the wrong way, he associates partners to Allah, he commits any form of shirk, then he is not your brother. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا. Do not accompany except a faithful, except someone who is faithful. Someone who fears Allah, someone who acts by the orders of Allah and his messenger. By this way, you can protect your faith, because if you accompany the righteous people, then you will benefit from them. And if you accompany the crooked and the unrighteous, then you will be harmed by their company. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilih falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalif. That one will go according by his friend. One will take from his friend. If your friend has wrong ideas or he commits wrong actions, then you will be affected by him. So it is very important to choose the company, and it is very important to make sure that your company is the right company, the company which does what please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be your basis for choosing the company. Your basis for choosing the company should not be on worldly measures and material measures, of course, sometimes you might find yourself in a situation where you have to deal with someone because it is part of your job. But you should not take as a friend, as an ally, as someone who you love and are concerned with, except someone who is faithful. This is the teaching of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if you take care of your faith, then your faith, by feeding it with the right knowledge and by doing the right actions, your faith will become stronger and stronger. It will become higher and it will become bigger until it might reach the level as much as a mountain, and it will be strong, and little things will not affect it, will not shake it. Even if something big happens, you will still remain faithful. And this is what the believer should be concerned about, especially at our times where there are so many seductions around us, so many afflictions, and the Muslim is subject to fall if his faith is not strong. And you can keep your faith strong by keep on obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing the prayers, doing the right thing. So these are in general the constitutes of faith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith mentioned some of those constitutes, and of course we know from other hadiths which will come later inshallah, we will know other constitutes of faith. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Today's topic will be a continuation of the subject of faith. The author of this book, which is Sahih Muslim, a hadith book, the most authentic book after Sahih al-Bukhari, states in this chapter that the faith in Allah is the best of all actions. And he mentions the hadith of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu, who said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, which actions are the best, or which action is the best? He said, to have faith in Allah and his Messenger, and to fight in his path, to fight for his sake. Then I said, which slaves are better to free? He said, the most valuable to their owners. Then he said, what if I could not do so? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you help someone who can do something, or you do something for someone who is disabled. Then he said, what if I become so weak that I cannot do much? He said, then you stop your evil from people. In other words, you don't harm others, because this is a charity from you on yourself. Now, in this hadith, we notice that not all actions are of the same rank. So we know now that faith constitutes of actions, and we know also that not all actions are of the same rank. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts the faith in Allah and his Messenger to be above all actions of faith, just as he said in another hadith. He said, faith is 73 branches, the top of which is to testify to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And then he said, the bottom of which is to remove something harmful from the way of the Muslims. And therefore, it is clear also from this hadith that faith is constituted of actions, and that some actions have higher ranks. And the highest of all is to testify to the oneness of Allah, that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Him, and to testify to the messenger that he is the messenger of Allah. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the best action or the best actions are the faith in Allah and His messenger, and then the jihad, the fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith, we see first of all that the faith in Allah and His messenger must precede all actions, and it will not no action will be accepted by Allah with the wrong faith in Allah and His messenger. Now, our faith in Allah means that we have faith in His existence, and we have faith in His lordship, the fact that He is our creator, He is the master, He is the one who controls the affairs of all things. He is the one who orders us to do what He pleases and to forbid us from what He displeases. He is the one whom we should turn to in all matters. He is the one whom we should worship alone, and we should not associate any partners with Him in worship. So this is the meaning of our faith in Allah. Also, our faith in Allah will not be complete unless we believe in all what He described Himself with. He said He is the most knowledgeable, the most wise, merciful, and so on. Whatever He describes Himself with in His book, we must believe in. Whatever He glorifies Himself from, we must glorify Him. He says that He does not sleep, neither does He slumber. So we believe in all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself with. He says that He is the all life. We believe whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Himself. He says that He is above His throne. Therefore, we believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Himself. He says that He is with us wherever we are. That is, by His knowledge, He knows whatever we do wherever we are. He sees us wherever we are. He hears us wherever we are. So we believe in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Himself, or anything that our messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us about Allah. Whatever our messenger tells us about Allah, we must believe in it as he says. So this is the meaning of our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, would not be complete without worshipping Him alone. So if we fear someone like fearing Allah, if you fear someone that he might harm you in a way that no one can harm you but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have worshipped that person or worshipped that thing. If you desire something from anyone other than Allah, which cannot be desired except from Allah, then you have worshipped Him. If you depend upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in things which no one can do but Allah, then you have worshipped Him besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you call upon other than Allah, or if you put a mediator between you and Allah in your call, such as those people nowadays who say that we call Allah through the awliya, the saint, the righteous people, this is shirk, and then you will not be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you obey someone in anything which is different than the order of Allah, different than the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you accept his rule and his judgment rather than the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have worshipped him, and this is shirk. So our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be a complete one. Faith is not accepted if we only have some faith in Allah, like we have faith in His existence and that He is the creator, but then when we come to his rule and his order, we give priority to orders and rules which differ from his rule and order. So this is not faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This faith is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as we said many times before, that the mushriks, the ones who were worshipping the idols, they were believing in Allah. They were believing that he is the creator and that he is the provider and so on. They believed that he is in control of everything and so on. But they were associating partners with him by obeying their masters and by sacrificing for their idols and by calling on their idols and so on. So in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the beginning of our faith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes jihad, the fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith. And you can see the position of this action in Islam when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put it with the faith in Allah and his messenger. So this shows the high rank of this obligation in Islam, and that is to fight for his sake, to fight the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remove all kind of kufr and shirk from earth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you must fight them until there is no shirk. Our faith in Allah and our faith in his messenger are together. We cannot separate, because our faith in our messenger means that we worship Allah in the way that the messenger tells us, the way that our messenger have taught us. That is why we say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. There is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that there is no way to worship Allah but by following the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our faith in the messenger means that we believe in all what he tell us. Whatever things he tell us, we must believe in him, because he speaks of revelation. He doesn't speak of himself. He only speaks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must obey the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah said in his book, whatever the messenger order you, you must take, and whatever he forbid you, you must stay away from. And our faith in the messenger means that we should give priority to his orders, to his sunnah, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot take someone's opinion or someone's desire or our opinions or our desires and put them before the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because by doing this we are clearly going against the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasulih. O who have faith, Do not proceed in your sayings and in your actions before the saying of Allah and his messenger. In other words, you should not go ahead and say something or do something to please Allah before knowing whether this thing is according to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not. So this is very important for us to be watchful of what we say and we act, and what we act to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that those sayings and those actions and of course those beliefs which are in our heart must be in full accordance to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. As was mentioned last time, the faith constitutes of actions, and those actions are of different ranks, and the top of those actions is the faith in Allah and His Messenger. Today, inshallah, we will show from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that not to act in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us is against our faith, and it is either rejection of faith, or it is hypocrisy, or it is something which will decrease our faith and harm our faith, if not totally, partially. Today, inshallah, we will speak about a very dangerous disease, something which contradicts our faith, and that is hypocrisy. As you know, in Quran there is a special surah named after the hypocrites, not to honor them, but to show the danger of hypocrisy and to warn us against this disease and to warn us against the hypocrites. Also in the Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah in Quran, in the first verses of this surah, in the first five verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala briefly describe the believers, the faithful, the righteous faithful. Then in the next two verses only, he describes those who reject faith clearly, the kafirs. And in the next 13 or more verses, in the next 13 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the hypocrites, showing that the hypocrites are more dangerous than the clear kafirs. Because hypocrites can be people who claim to be faithful, who claim to be Muslims, and they might be people who can even come and pray with you and do certain things of Islam, but they have doubts in their hearts, and they have hatred for Islam and hatred for the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described what in their hearts to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have warned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam against those people. Now, the hypocrites have some apparent qualities. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are four things which, if they accumulate in a person, then he is a pure hypocrite. And if he has one thing of those four things in him, then he has a branch of hypocrisy until he leaves it. Those are, if he speaks, he lies. And if he commits himself to something, he does not fulfill his commitment. And if he promises, he breaks his promise. And if he argues, he becomes unjust in his argument. He becomes, for example, too nasty in his talk. He speaks loudly, unnecessarily, shouts, and so on and so forth. He transgresses in his discussion. Now, those are the apparent qualities, or some of the apparent qualities of the hypocrite. Of course, to lie is something which is very bad for a believer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that lying leads to crookedness and mischievousness. And of course, mischievousness and crookedness lead to hellfire. And he said being truthful leads to piety, and piety leads to paradise, heavens. So also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith mentioned that the believer could have anything of those mistakes, of those wrong actions, except lying, meaning that lying is the worst thing that a believer could have. Now, when we speak about hypocrisy, we must know that hypocrisy is of two kinds, two phases. One is called the higher hypocrisy, or the hypocrisy which equals rejection of faith, total rejection of faith. Now, this kind of hypocrisy is when someone denies the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denies what has been revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not believe it in his heart. So this is total rejection of faith. To deny part of the religion is also rejection of faith. To deny anything which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordered us and told us, to deny that and not to believe in it, even if it is one thing, then that is total rejection of faith. Even if the person who denies this thing does not, of course, deny the other things which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, he is still a hypocrite and he has rejected all the faith. So the faith in Islam, if you accept Islam altogether, then you are faithful. But if you reject any part of it knowingly, then you are not a Muslim. You are not faithful. You are a hypocrite. And if you declare this and say it openly, then you are a clear kafir. You are openly rejecting the faith. These are two qualities of the higher hypocrisy, the hypocrisy that equals rejection of faith. Another two qualities are to hate this religion, to hate the faith of Islam, to hate anything from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, hating it means that you do not feel comfortable with it. You feel that this thing is not suitable, is not just, is not wise. If you feel so about anything from the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that it is part of the religion of Allah, then you are a hypocrite and you are not a Muslim. This is very important for the believer to know. In general, as a believer, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-merciful, which means that he orders all things due to his mercy, and therefore there is nothing in his order which is against the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, there is nothing in his orders which will lead to lead to misery, or lead to something which will be heavy on us. Also, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-wise, meaning that his orders are according to his wisdom. That means he orders something for a reason, for something that he likes, and for some goal that he wants. Therefore, whatever order from Allah and his messenger is for a wisdom, and therefore we must understand this fully and accept the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is all for a wisdom, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-wise. Also, we must know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-just, and therefore there is no injustice in his orders and in his rules. So to hate something from Islam does not mean that you might hate some of the difficulties which might come out of some action. For example, fasting. You might become very hungry, you might become very thirsty, and it is natural for someone to have hatred for thirst and for hunger and for tiredness and so on. But for a believer, when he believes that he is doing this to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's enough for him to be satisfied and pleased, and for him to believe that he is doing this to learn how to control himself and how to become patient and how to become strong in his patience, then this is also another thing to make him satisfied and pleased by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the other two qualities of the great hypocrisy. There are also two other qualities, and that is to be pleased and happy when Islam is not acted upon, and when the rules of Islam are not acted upon. If you become happy with this situation and pleased with the situation, and you wish for this situation where Islam does not have the upper hand and where the rule of Islam is not applied, you wish for this situation to continue, and you become pleased with this and happy with this, and this is a sign that you are not a believer, that you are a hypocrite. And similarly, if you become displeased and sorry and miserable when Islam is applied and when Islam has the right, the upper hand, and when the rules of Islam are put into practice and applied, when you become unhappy with this situation and you become sorry with this situation, then also this is hypocrisy, and you are not a Muslim if you have this feeling. So it is very important for us to guard ourselves against hypocrisy. So if someone, for example, makes fun of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or anything from the book of Allah or the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he is a hypocrite. He is not a Muslim. If someone makes fun of the believers because of what they practice, then he is a hypocrite, because he is looking down at those people who are acting upon the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone loves the kafirs, loves those who object to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who do not believe in the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he loves them, then he is one of them. He is not a Muslim. He is not faithful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. He amongst you, meaning Muslims, who becomes friend of them, then he is one of them. So this is very important to know. And it is a sign of hypocrisy to love anyone who rejects the faith and who does not believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, he who praises the non-believers and he looks high at them, then he is actually one of them, and he is a friend of them, and he is an ally of them. This does not mean that when the disbeliever has something good in him, that we don't mention it, and we don't we mention something which is different from it. No. If you mention it, if you have to mention it, you should do so in a way that is not a praise for him. You should make it clear that he is a rejecter of faith, and so on. Also, to resemble the non-believers, to resemble them, is against Islam. It is against Islam to resemble the non-believers in their actions, in their sayings, even in what they wear. You should, as a believer, avoid resembling the kafirs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." He who acts like any group of people, then he is one of them. So the Muslim should avoid resembling the kafirs in anything which is special of them. Again, this does not mean that we should not do the what they do, for example, in technology and so on. We could take whatever benefit that is not against our religion from them. but we should not resemble them in their attitudes, in their manners, in their sayings, and so on. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. The author of this book, Sahih Muslim, states in his chapter today the issue of shyness, and he states that shyness is from faith. He mentions the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that faith is 70 and more branches, or 60 and more branches. The best of those branches is to say la ilaha illallah, and the least is to remove something harmful from the road of the Muslims. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that shyness is a branch of faith. Now, shyness in Islam is something which is highly recommended. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith that shyness is altogether good. He said in another hadith that shyness does not produce but good. And he also said that for every religion there is a special character, a special moral, and the moral of Islam is shyness. And he also said shyness is of faith, and faith is in paradise, and nastiness is of disobedience, and disobedience is in hellfire. And he also said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory be to him, is generous and shy. He becomes shy of his slave when he raises his hand asking him to let him down with nothing. And he said in another hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is patient and shy, and he loves shyness, and he loves the believer to be in a situation where he is where he protects himself from doing the wrong thing. So in those two hadiths we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory be to him, has this description, and that is shyness. And therefore it is a good description, and it is a perfect description. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Allah is not shy of giving an example which is true. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not become shy of the truth, of saying the truth. So shyness is something which is good, and the believer should take this character as some good quality which only produces good, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Shyness might be looked at in modern psychology, for example, as a deficiency in many ways, but this is not true in Islam. For example, in modern psychology, in the Western countries, for example, when their daughter is shy to go with some boys or so on, they treat her and they take her to a psychiatrist, and they look at her as unnormal, that she has some deficiency in her, and therefore they want to treat her so that she becomes normal, as they claim, and go out with boys and so on. Now in Islam this is completely against our faith, and the shyness is a must in this case for the girl. She should cover herself from anyone who is not her mahram, that is her brother or her father or uncle, or if she is married, her husband. Other than that, she should cover herself from them, and she should not mix with foreigners unnecessarily. We as Muslims must not resemble those who do not act upon our faith. We should not resemble them in what they think is right. We should have full confidence in the teachings of our book and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should know that our teachings guarantee for us the way to heavens and guarantees for us success in this life. It is not because we Muslims have those teachings of Islam that we are behind. No, it is because we are not going according to the teachings of Islam. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered us to prepare whatever power we can to face the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are doing nothing. We are behind. So we are acting the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to take precautions, and we are not doing anything. We are just sitting back, and we are not going according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no relation between making factories for airplanes and rockets and so on and so forth, and between uncovering the woman or mixing of the woman with men. There is no relation whatsoever. We can do all what is strength for us without going against any teaching of our religion. So the point is that our religion emphasizes shyness. And the real shyness, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in a true hadith, that the real shyness is to protect your head and what it contains, and to protect your stomach and what it contains, and to remember death and what is after death. Now, in this hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the real shyness is to protect your head and what it contains, to protect your head means to protect your eyes from looking at something which is forbidden by Allah, to protect your ears from listening to something which is forbidden by Allah, to protect your mouth from saying anything which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to protect your stomach means not to take in your stomach anything unlawful, not to take in your stomach what is haram, because if you do so, you will be in a bad shape, and even your call will not be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to remember this and what is after this, the believer should never be in a situation where he is not thinking of death and what comes after it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized to us that we should always be thinking of death and what comes after death, because by this we will fear Allah and we will be prepared for what comes after death, and that is the account by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasizes shyness, and he emphasizes the fact that shyness is part of our faith. In the next chapter, he says that from faith, it is a must to be good to the neighbor and to be generous to the guest. Then he brings the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "He who believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, let him be good to his neighbor. And he who believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, let him be generous to his guest. And he who believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, let him say good or keep quiet." Now, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows that those actions are of faith. So you know by now, from this hadith and the hadith of the shyness of is of faith and so on, that these actions are constituents of faith. Therefore, faith is not just to say something and not just to say I have it in my heart. Being good to your neighbor is part of your faith. So if you don't be good to your neighbor, then you are missing some part of the faith. And being generous to the guest, and saying good, and so on. So, of course, regarding the neighbors, our religion emphasizes for the Muslim to be good to his neighbors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a Jewish neighbor. He used to visit him and he used to eat with him personally from the same plate. And at the same time, he used to call him to Islam, to ask him to become a Muslim, to teach him Islam. And this is something which Islam encourages us, that when we have any relation with a non-Muslim, a Jew or Christian or otherwise, that we should extend the invitation to them, invitation to Islam. We should love for them to be guided to the right path. Also, to be good to the neighbor is a sign of the real faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the Muslim is not the one who sleeps with his stomach full while his neighbor beside him is hungry. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he who does so is not a real Muslim. He who sleeps with his stomach full while his neighbor is hungry, then he is not a real Muslim. Now, regarding the guests and the generosity to the guest, of course, the Muslim, if he receives a guest from outside, a traveler, he should do his job towards him for 3 days, feed him and so on, for 3 days. And after those 3 days, it is not a must, because it might be too much for him. So it is not a must after 3 days. Also, the one who, the guest himself should not be a heavy guest. If he finds that his host is not able, then he should not stay at his home. So this is something that must be regarded. So those two actions are part of our faith, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasizing. Also, to say good or to be quiet, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized. Saying good means you say what is righteous. When you speak, you don't lie. You don't say any lying, especially those people who lie to make people laugh. This is not good. This is against Islam. Even if you are joking, this is something which is undesirable. To joke in while you are lying, and especially when you are lying leads to harming other Muslims or other people. If you make fun of someone and hurt his feeling, then this is against Islam, and you will be doing something which you will be responsible for in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone says something without knowledge, something that is out of his own gesture, with no base for it, then he is saying something unnecessarily. So one should be quiet as much as he can if he doesn't have anything good to say. This is the teaching of Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.